Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, we're 76 is sunny. Slight overcast coming in right now because it's getting dark. But great ride home on the bike.
Oh.
Bill's on his way because his brother's out of town. He went back to the East Coast to pick up some bikes, so got to close the shop up and he should be here. Talked to him yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff going on.
So, what's going on?
Well,
if that's what you meant in regards with, you know, Bill and his brother.
Well, let's put it like this. Did you know that the government's scooping up all Verizon phone records?
No.
Did you know that if you have Verizon and you sign your contract, if you didn't read the fine print, you gave permission to hand over your whatever you do with your phone?
Wow. Is that the only carrier for right now?
Probably not, but listen, let me read this here. The National Security is out of Washington, D.C. today. The National Security Agency has been collecting the telephone records of millions of U.S. customers of Verizon under a top-secret court order, according to reports in Britain's Guardian newspaper. The order was granted by the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court on April 25th and is good until July 19th. The newspaper reported Wednesday, the order records Verizon, one of the nation's largest telecommunications companies, an ongoing daily basis to give the NSA information on all telephone calls in its systems, both within the U.S. and between the U.S. and other countries. The newspaper said the document, a copy of which it obtained, shows for the first time that under the Obama administration, the communication records of millions of U.S. citizens were being collected indiscriminately and in bulk, regardless of whether they were suspected of any wrongdoing. The Associated Press could not authenticate the order because documents from the court are classified. Verizon spokesman Ed McFadden said Wednesday the company had no comment. The White House declined to comment and referred questions to the NSA, which is the National Security. The NSA had no immediate comment. Verizon Communications listed 121 million customers in its first quarter earnings report this April. 98.9 million wireless customers, 11.7 residential phone lines, and about 10 million commercial lines. The court order didn't specify which type of phone customers' records were being tracked. Under the terms of the order, the phone numbers of both parties on a call are handed over, as are location data, call duration, unique identifiers, and the time and duration of all calls. The contents of the conversation itself are not covered, the Guardian said. The broad and limited nature of the records being handed over to the NSA is unusual. FISA court orders typically direct the production of records pertaining to a specific named target suspected of being an agent of a terrorist group or a foreign state or a finite set of individually named targets. NSA warrantless wiretapping during the George W. Bush administration after the 9/11 attacks was very controversial. The FISA court, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and signed by Judge Roger Vinson, compelled Verizon to provide the NSA with all electronic copies of all call detail records or telephone media created by Verizon for communications between the United States and abroad, or wholly within the United States, including local telephone calls. The law in which the order specifically relies on the business records provision is under the U.S. Patriot Act. If you haven't read that thing, all you got to do is Google Patriot Act, and read it. There's a lot of shit in there that people don't know. Just like they can arrest you and hold you indefinitely. They don't have to tell anybody they arrested you. Did you know that?
That I know.
So
they can detain you indefinitely.
Who's your phone carrier?
T-Mobile.
Okay. Well, they're in line too. Stacy, who's your phone carrier?
You don't want to know.
Verizon, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So anything you do on your phone, like I've been telling you guys for years now, anything you do, just like your cable box, they can turn it on, look in your house, they can listen to all your conversations. Same thing with your cell phone. If you take there's two batteries in it, one that you charge, and the other one is like a little earphone, like a little hearing aid battery. It keeps the memory and everything intact. You can take that out. Whenever you
is, there some, is it okay if there's something that I read real quick?
Go ahead.
Okay. The government is sifting through millions of phone and internet records. Now, we know about the phones. The FBI and national security agencies are looking at photos, videos, emails, and other documents on YouTube, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Microsoft, Hotmail, and Skype without telling the public. That's according to a new report in the Washington Post. The revelations come on top of news that for the past 7 years, the government has been tracking millions of calls to Washington, D.C., Fox 32 News and Associated Press from the Verizon customers that you just read. The Washington Post said that the internet tracking was part of a classified program called PRISM, which was established in 2007. The Post said that the PRISM program is similar to the most controversial of the warranty surveillance orders issued by President George W. Bush after the Al-Qaeda attacks on September 11, 2001. The Post reported that the internet companies denied cooperation with PRISM program. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein said the phone call tracking is part of the effort to protect against terrorist attacks, and that federal judges help protect privacy records. The Republican Congressman Mike Rogers of Michigan said the search of phone records had, in fact, prevented a terror attack in recent years. But others in both parties say it's a huge overreach for the government to have millions of phone records checked. Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders calls it indefensible and unacceptable. Former Vice President Al Gore tweeted that privacy is essential in the digital era. What he wrote, it is just me, or is secret blanket surveillance obscenely outrageous? White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the court order allows the intelligence community to know when terrorists or suspected terrorists are engaging in dangerous activities. He says that particularly true for people located in the U.S. He says the order doesn't allow the government to listen in on calls. So how much of that is true and how much of it that we know are lies? Now, do they listen on our phone calls? Yes, they do.
They have a 25,000 square foot listening post in Utah that they finished last year.
Yeah, in Utah.
Mhm.
That's their biggest surveillance thing. Now, I just got that from Fox Chicago News out here.
What now? They did what?
No,
in Chicago?
I just got it from Fox Chicago News.
Wow.
What I just read. So, in essence, it's not like we've known about the phone, okay? So, you know, and we did know in regards to the internet. Am I going to be stupid enough to, would I threaten somebody on the internet? No. Would I be stupid enough to put something in writing out there? No. How many other people are there? Well, too many to count. They don't care. they think that, you know, it's a joke, that, you know, Big Brother doesn't watch things. Duh. We already knew this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
so,
is.
You know, the things that they talked about, I already knew that they were coming. Because President Obama already stated prior, when it came to anything on YouTube, if it's protesting against the government, if there's any kind of videos protesting against the government, or there's some kind of protest taking place, they have the right to pull it without no notification whatsoever. They pull it. It's gone.
They don't have to tell you shit. They're taking away all your freedoms.
Right. Now, in regards to Google, I don't do anything on Google to worry about. I don't do anything on YouTube to worry about. I don't post up videos. I look at videos, but I don't post them. On Yahoo, I don't do anything to worry about. On Facebook, same thing. So, you know, like I said, I'm not worried about it. I have a Microsoft Hotmail. You know, I don't even know what it is. Skype, same thing. I don't worry about it. You only worry if you do something wrong or if you're doing something wrong. But, of course, too, what is may not be wrong to me may be wrong to someone else.
Everybody has their thing. You know, and to those, I say, and those of you who did nothing, you're welcome to enjoy the freedom that others have provided for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I didn't write any contract with my carrier, meaning I didn't sign anything, okay? Now, Stacey, when you switched your carrier, did you have to sign anything or no?
How did you get your phone if you didn't sign anything?
I ordered it on the phone.
No, I signed a 2-year agreement, but I had T-Mobile before Verizon, and I stood with them, too. I had a 2-year contract, and I had them for 2 years, and I just didn't renew the contract. I went with Verizon because the service is better where I'm at, you know. As for all these other things going on, I'm just at the stage of my life where I don't give a shit because you have no privacy anyways. And, you know, if you're not doing stupid shit, then you have no reason to fear.
Don't worry
anything.
About it. Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it is what it is, you know.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, you know, Phil, you're wondering how I got my phone. All I had to do is call and say I went on the phone. That's what I want.
I understand
that. We talk, but I didn't sign anything.
I hear you. I understand that. I said the people that signed their contracts when they got their phone, you gave them permission to do whatever because
they want.
You're leasing that phone.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to understand. If I got my phone the way I did I give them permission to do that with mine?
I don't
know. Is it something you physically have to sign?
That's a good question. Why don't you hit them
up? I don't know. A lot of stuff online, it automatically, if you read the fine print, it automatically electronically signs your name to, like, a document. Like, if you purchased a phone or whatever, it's just a standard thing within the website. But I know a lot of pages operate like that.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, I could understand if you sign something, you know, but if you don't sign anything, how can they force something like that on your information? But that's who we're talking about.
Because they can basically do whatever they want because you signed something somewhere along the line. You signed something for somebody.
No.
Okay.
I never, co-signed for a phone for my kids or nothing like that. No. I mean, one day I just thought, okay, we need to get a cell phone. And I called from my landline, you know, and said, okay, this is the kind of phone I want. This is all I want on the phone. And they're like, okay, well, you'll get it within 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Well, is it time for the phone when it got delivered?
No, they dropped it on my front porch.
They just dropped it and left.
Yeah.
In a good neighborhood over there.
It is a good neighborhood. When the market was good, you know, my house was valued at 300-something thousand. It's a nice area. You know, I mean, when my daughter Megan does Avon stuff, they drop the box right on the front porch. Nobody
yeah.
takes it.
When times were good, my house was worth $650. Now it's worth $477.
Right. Well, mine's worth way less. But, yeah, normally the houses at the time ran anywhere as 300 and up, you know. But we've never had major crime in this town either. It's so small. You know, never had a murder or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, that is kind of weird. You know, that's why I was curious. You know, I'll have to check into that because, you know, they've never once ever sat there and said to me what you signed. I've never signed anything with them, ever. Not for when I had a phone replacement, nothing. They just dropped the phone and that's it. Or the guy will every once in a while ring the doorbell and he hands me a phone. It's like, okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, so were you getting weekly or monthly?
What?
Are you getting a new phone weekly or monthly?
No, actually, the last time I updated my phone was over a year ago.
Okay, but I'm telling you, you signed something somewhere. You better call them and find out.
Oh, I have no problem calling them and finding out. I usually bail with them anyways. I finally got my bill where it was supposed to be. They kept jerking with the prices. I told them, I said, after 9 years, I'll jump. I don't care.
All right.
You know.
Hang on a second. Stacy, so what's going on in, up that way?
Who?
You.
Talking to me?
Yeah,
well,
I heard.
Laconia is about to, you know, start
yeah,
up. Like week
Monday.
Up there in New Hampshire.
That's on Monday, right?
Yeah, but I believe so. Monday all the way through the weekend. I've got friends that are going up. They're leaving tomorrow
uh-huh.
and heading that way, you know. The weather doesn't look to be that great this weekend. It's going to be a lot of rain, so I hope everybody is safe within their travel, especially people that are going to be up there for the whole week and that could be traveling over the weekend, you know. So you need to use caution and have some sense about you while out on the road.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling? Are you feeling better?
Yeah. No, I feel good. You know, knock on wood. Knock on wood. Yeah. Where is...
Bill's brother is out of town, so he's got to count the money, put shit to the, drop off shit at the bank, and then he'll be here. I talked to him yesterday, he said he'd be here. He's got some burning desires he wants to talk about. Seems
oh.
We got another cop doing some stupid shit again. But,
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, I'm gonna read a couple of things. There's some updates I got, you know, you guys... I'm a vet, and I put a lot of stuff on my blog for vets. And this came out today. Actually, this came out 3 days ago. And since everything about same sex, the Navy begins benefit training for same sex partners. The training will assist leadership in a knowledgeable and professional extension of benefits beginning August 31st. When service members will be able to submit a declaration of domestic partnership were Deers Enrollment, DD-653, and obtain a Department of Defense identification for their same-sex partners to access benefits detailed in the February 11th memo by the Secretary of Defense. Some of the things that it's going to give you, well, benefits will be extended to the same-sex domestic partners and families, include a dependent ID card, commissary and exchange privileges, access to morale, welfare, and recreation, access to child and youth programs. This includes child care, youth programs, and youth sponsorship. Space-available travel on DOD aircraft. Yeah. And when I come in October, I'm flying in the Great Lakes.
So you're going to be up for me. Well, but are you still got... Well, we'll see if you make it down this way, because it isn't that far.
Hey, I'm
coming
in on...
I didn't know you could go in there.
I'm coming in on a C-130. Don't worry about it.
Cool.
Joint duty assignment, collocation for dual military partners, access to legal assistance, access to most family center programs, emergency leave and emergency leave of absence for the military members to attend to partner emergencies, access to sexual assault counseling program, emergency care provided, additional care determined by medical eligibility, exemption from hostile fire areas for dual military partner if one is killed in a combat zone, transportation to and from certain places of employment on military installations, transportation to and from primary and secondary school for minor dependents, disability and death compensation, dependents, members, eldest captives, payments to missing persons, authorization to participate in surveys of military families, including the Quadrennial Quality of Life Review, and authority of service secretary to transport remains of a dependent. Changes to the instructions, notices, articles need to be implemented. Eligibility to same-sex partners will be completed by August 31st. So what I'm going to do is I'll pop those links in, pop that link in the chat room right now.
Do you want to hear something kind of funny? I mean, it's kind of funny when you don't have the knowledge. It's kind of funny. Anyways, a friend of mine, he served 21 years in the military, you know, retired vet. And every once in a while when we talk, you know, there are certain things that he talks to me about and stuff, you know. So I sat there, I said, well, I know this is, like, weird because I've never been in service, so I don't know. And I sat there, I'm like, can you date or anything when you're in the service? And he's like, of course you can. I said, oh, I didn't know. I thought you were, like, celibate for 21 years. Whoops.
Yeah, you can date. Okay. You can date, but you can't date below your rank or above your rank.
Isn't that strange? I don't know, but it's okay, whatever, you know. But, you know, here I thought you'd think it was funny. I get a chuckle out of it. But, you know, if somebody doesn't know,
yeah,
it may be stupid, and a stupid question, but
yeah,
how do you know unless if you ask?
But, let's see, Obama signed, you know, have you ever met somebody, let's see, how am I going to word this? You guys know what the Stolen Valor Act is?
No.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad, you?
Doing good.
Good. Sorry.
Who's that?
That's Ryan.
That's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh, the one with the nice hat. With the nice bald head and the butt.
There we go.
You know, I got a mute button on cooperatives right now.
Do you?
Absolutely. Anyway, President Obama signs a new Stolen Valor Act. What that consists of, most people don't know, is he signed it on Monday into law. It's the latest version of the Stolen Valor Act, which makes it a federal crime for people to pass themselves off as a war hero by wearing medals they didn't rightfully earn. The legislation passed both houses of Congress with overwhelming majorities. An earlier version, passed in 2005, was struck down in June 2012 when the Supreme Court ruled that lying lying about military service or military heroics was constitutionally protected speech under, unless there was intent to gain some benefit or something of value by fraud. And you guys know that Bill and I, when somebody calls us and they want to be from, they say they're from a veteran organization, they say they're helping vets, they say they're doing whatever, they're raising money for this, that, and the other thing. First question I ask is, where does the money go? Then I check. Because a lot of people are doing it, and they're and by law, they only have to give 5% to the charity. So where does the rest of the money go?
Wow.
That's how that
guy. For years, I thought I was helping the disabled vets. You know, it's like you donate for the disabled vets, and you get like garbage bags or something, you know, and the money was supposed to go for the AIDS.
Well, the law signed Monday at the White House includes such a provision, make it illegal to make the claims with the intent to obtain money, property, or other tangible benefits. Veterans organizations were cooked to applaud Congress and the President for acting quickly on the amended version of the law. I think this was necessary because people were using it to receive the benefits of decorations of valor. They were getting monetary benefits from it, said John Stovall, Director of the National Security and Foreign Relations for the American Legion. That's why we supported the amended version, not to infringe on anyone's First Amendment rights, but to protect the reputation and meaning of those decorations. You know, they were given drone pilots. This came out, they gave them a service ribbon a couple of months ago, and this shit hit the fan. Because it was a bronze or silver. It was higher than that commendation. The 2005 law made its way to the Supreme Court after a California man challenged his conviction and $5,000 fine for unlawfully claiming to be a Medal of Honor recipient. The court declared the law unconstitutional unless the fabricator intended to get something of value by making the claims. William Bill Hiller of Maryland spent years claiming to have been a special forces soldier with expertise in human trafficking and counterterrorism. Colleges and universities paid him to teach classes, and law enforcement organizations paid to hear his presentations. But the charge that got Hiller sentenced to 21 months in federal prison was wire fraud. Not the 2005 Stolen Valor Act. Among Hiller's claims was that he went on a one-man search for a daughter kidnapped and sold into slavery. The story was the basis for the Liam Neeson film, Taken. He was arrested finally in January 2011 after a scam was exposed by veterans through the website ProfessionalSoldiers.com. The Stolen Valor Act of 2013 was introduced into the House by Representative Joe Heck, Republican from Nevada, who said that awards like the men and women who earned them are worthy of respect. All of other lawmakers shared Heck's sentiment. I'm very happy the president signed the Stolen Valor Act. Representative Paul Cook, Republican from California, a retired Marine colonel. The new law ensures that we protect and honor veterans and sacrifices they've made. When people make false claims of military rank and heroism, it does a tremendous disservice not only to our vets, but to the public. Yeah, Miles, it was the Bronze Star. Thank you for, I wasn't sure which one it was. But yeah, they rated that one higher just for flying a drone in country, higher than a bronze. Needless to say, it's not just, I think it's bullshit. And, let's see. I just got a news flash from my buddy Charlie Baker in Nashville. He said, it looks like I'm opening for the Outlaws in Alexandria, Virginia. Beach Mirror Music Hall, Saturday, August 31st, and he's going solo acoustic. But yeah, we caught a guy doing that too. He got a bunch of stuff that he didn't get. But usually when I tell him, okay, we're gonna check you out first, then we never hear from him again. So that's another sign that they weren't legit.
Right. Yeah, it's too bad people feel they have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be found out. There's a lot of people out there that did, in fact, earn those medals. And, you know, most of the time, the people that earn the medals don't really like to show them off. It's something that they have, and they keep kind of put away. I know my grandpa didn't even like to talk about how he got his. He wasn't exactly proud that he got some of those things, but it was part of what he was doing, and he received them, so he kept them. So.
Yeah. Mine, you know, when they first came out with the Sela Meal?
Mm-hmm.
All my stuff's in compressed in 3-foot lockers in the garage. There's just a few pictures around the house. After I got out, I got someone coming out of the Marine Corps, and I showed them a ship that was building. All my buddies from the Marine Corps Association at work. Those are the pictures.
Right.
But let's see. Okay. I'm going to do, Ryan. But let me talk to Eunice real quick. And then
okay.
We'll bring on, I think Brandy's in the queue right now. So Brandy,
yes, she is.
Yeah, just stay on the line. I'm gonna talk to Eunice, and then I'll come back to you guys after that, okay?
Okay.
That works.
All right. Hello, Eunice. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you feeling?
Don't
say with your hands.
No, it was nothing a full tank of gas wouldn't cure on the way home, trust me.
I got to tell you, I had lunch with my daughter today. So I said to her, put your picture on my Facebook, you know, because she's on Facebook.
Right.
So she's going through my things and she says, what do you mean you know these Bikers of America from California? I says, yeah. What do you mean you know this guy from London? And she's going on. She says, yeah. I says, you think you're the only one that can ride a bike? I says, put your picture on as my friend so I can tell them to look up Kim Tatro, you know, on Facebook.
Right.
You take a look at her and you tell me she's not gorgeous, you know.
I'm gonna do that right now while you're talking. So what else is going on?
Nothing too much. I called the senator today, and he's hoping that it's going to be out within the next couple of weeks for them to vote on. And I says, well, it better be, because I got the Bikers of America from California that's going to be right up your ass with the bikes. He laughed. Oh, my God, he laughed. I said, you ever hear of him? He says, no, I haven't. He says, but if you know him, I guess I better be afraid, huh?
So I said, Why are you using me to threaten people?
Huh? You find us?
No, not yet. Is that your dog?
No, that's not my dog.
Okay. Who's got the dogs?
Not me.
My dogs are sleeping. Are you referring as my grandson in the other room?
I can hear a dog barking.
No, there's no dog barking. But
okay.
I heard the drum thing that Ryan and I heard that one night.
Yeah, I heard the drum thing, too.
Yeah.
I did, too. Somebody playing with the paper towel roll again.
Yeah, there's a dog, but it's not here.
Did you find it?
No, not yet. Spell the name.
It's Kim, K-I-M.
Hold on.
Tatro. And it'll say Kim Tatro Lorenz. L-A-U-R-E-Y-N-S.
What was the last name?
You'll see it says Kim Tatro.
Spell the last name.
L-A-U-R-E-Y-N-S.
Oh, Eunice. Not
what?
The last. The Kim, that name, and then the last name.
Tatro. T P-A-T.
P-A-T.
P. P-A-T. U.S., I think. That was her net married name. She's got long blonde hair.
I haven't seen her yet.
She's on my friends.
I could look for that later.
Yeah. So she says, "Well, you've got to introduce me to these guys because she rides bike." I told you.
Right.
Yeah.
You should have her call in. We could tell her some stories about you.
I told her, I says, you know, you have to be very elite to join this group of us. She says, "Ma, I never thought you knew bikers." I said, "I know a lot of people you don't know I know."
Yeah.
So when you see her picture, I'm going to have her download a lot of pictures on my phone so I can download it on Facebook. I got a new picture up there. Did you see it?
No. Yeah, unfortunately, you're not coming into my feed. Not on purpose,
really?
But... Yeah, not on purpose, but... I think you should go check out my page again before you unblock that, because sometimes there's naked women on there.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
I've seen them.
All right.
I'm going to pose with my daughter's body.
Here we go.
Well, I am. Nora, speak up for me.
You look fine, Eunice. You don't need to use her body. You look fine the way you are.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm serious. You're welcome.
Are you paying, paying her? Did you send her money to say that?
Of course I did.
No.
He's giving you shit.
I did that.
What's going on with the bill?
Well, he said that it should be out there on the Senate floor within a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
So I told him if it's not, then I'm going to send the Bikers of America from California.
There you go. You know, that's a conspiracy charge with a gang enhancement. You know that, right?
No. Come on, Bri, help me out here.
Well, I don't know. You're kind of pushing the criminal side of things, Eunice. I'm not sure if I ought to step into this one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she didn't post a picture to your page yet.
Right.
I said your daughter didn't post a picture to the page yet.
Of course she's under my new friends. So go to find my friends.
You only have 10.
My last chance for friends?
Oh, okay. I don't know. But,
did you find her?
Yeah.
Can't
see her face. Got her hair hanging in.
Beautiful hair, huh? What?
Half her face, her hair's in.
Yeah, she's a carbon copy of me when I was her age.
Yeah. You were pretty hot then.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
How old do you think she is?
About 35.
How about 49?
Wow. Okay, I don't look my age either.
She goes like about 120 pounds. She's 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
I think she's taller than Phil.
Pardon?
But he's taller than me. Why do you think
Phil? Yeah, I was about 5'8". She's about 5'10". So that's what I used to look like, Nora.
Wow.
She's a carbon copy of me.
Well, she's a lucky young lady then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said to me today. Go ahead,
Mom. telling you now, Eunice, you got to stop. You got to stop throwing that out there. Like that's a conspiracy charge, as well as a gang enhancement.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
No. I know. A lot of people don't know, but that's why I tell everybody: be careful what you say on the phone and what you put in print. And if it's something you don't want nobody to know about, don't put it on your phone. Now, that's why you hear when Bill and I say we got a meeting.
Yeah.
That's why we call it a meeting, face-to-face.
Oh, okay.
You never leave a trail that they can be used against you, because you're guilty until proven innocent in this country now.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Never afraid to say something like that. Never. Well, I went for my sleep apnea test last night.
And?
And they had to come wake me up because I stopped breathing so many times. It was unbelievable. So she says, I'm sure your doctor will be in touch with you in the next day or two.
Yeah.
I says, well, thank you. So... but it was different my Wednesday night in a sleep apnea bed. And it was the most uncomfortable bed I ever slept in my life. So,
Bill's coming in the door right now.
Bill, I can't wait to see Bill.
Okay. Hey, Bill. Hi, and they can't wait to see you, they said.
You know what
I mean? I said they're all dying to see you.
Tell them the Europeans.
Without clothes on.
Tell them the Europeans. Uh-oh. There. Puerto Ricans, babe.
Okay, we're not gonna go in that part of the show now. That probably be later. But what I want to do is I'm gonna bring on Ryan has a friend, and the thing we talked about last week with the mosaic Down syndrome. This lady's name is Brandy. So Ryan, I'll let you start us off with her. Hello, Brandy.
Hello.
And there's actually two Brandys, I believe, that are able to call in this evening. Brandy Snow as well as Brandy Hellard might be calling in.
Okay, well, the one I have is 4279.
Okay, that'd be Brandy Snow.
That should be on the line. Brandy Snow?
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
Me.
Okay, so Ryan, bring everybody up to speed on what this discussion concerned last week. And then we'll go to Brandy after that.
Alrighty. Well, it all started about 3 months ago. I went to an L.A. Guns concert as a photographer. And while I was there was a little kid in the front row that had a mohawk. And I kept getting shots of this little guy because he was rocking out for the entire show. Briefly touched base with his mom, make sure I could put his photo out there. And she tracked me down probably 4 or 5 days later and told me his story as well as his brother's story, who has mosaic Down syndrome. And I had never heard of it. And little Ryan is 7 years old, has mosaic Down syndrome. Great little guy. In fact, I spent the weekend, we had a photo shoot. He came out to that and he was a blast. We had a great time taking pictures and talking about everything that he is going through. And through the course of, I got linked up with International Mosaic Down Syndrome Association, which, come to find out, is all volunteers, from what I understand, 7 different families across the nation, and one of them being Brandy, who does have a child that is affected with mosaic down. So she'd like to tell her story about, you know, how they came to find out that that was the case, as well as answer any questions people may have regarding what it is, how it's detected, all of the stuff that's way over my head that a lot of people need to know about, including, as it turns out, doctors across the nation, who a lot of which don't even know this ailment exists. So I'd like to turn it over to Brandy. If there's anything I missed, jump in, or anything you want to add to it, it's all you.
Sure.
Well, Brandy, first of all, my name is Philip, and my partner in crime here is Bill.
My name is Bill. You got the ear, girl. Tell us what's happening.
Very nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having us on.
Absolutely.
So it's my story's kind of long, so I just kind of want to give a brief synopsis of it.
You know what? Not to interrupt you, but here's what you can do. You got the floor. So whatever you need to say, you got all the time you need to
say it, right? Oh, that's dangerous. Be careful when you offer me that. I'm a talker. basically, how it all started was, in May of 2005, we had a beautiful, beautiful baby boy who was, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, big and happy and perfect. And everything was going fine until about, I guess around the time he turned, let's say maybe about 8 months, 7 to 8 months old. And when we switched over to the third stage of baby food, Lucas decided that he did not want to eat anymore. Well, he wanted to eat, but he couldn't. So he'd fall asleep after just a couple of bites. And he would also fall asleep after, just a few minutes of drinking a bottle and was just having a really, really, really hard time eating, which led us, obviously, to go see the doctor. And after a few months of Lucas not gaining weight and just struggling to progress, the doctor started to get concerned. And, thankfully, he decided, I don't know what's wrong, but we're going to go ahead and put him in line for services to help with the, because we obviously figured out that it was oral motor skills. He was struggling because he had low tone in his jaws. And so when he would work so hard to eat, he would just fall asleep. So we went ahead and did that before we even had a true diagnosis of anything. And so we did that for a few months, and after a few months of prodding, the doctor finally convinced us to do genetic blood tests, which was hard. And we finally, came to terms with the fact that, conventional ways of diagnosing things weren't going to work, and we just needed to go a step further and try to, try other avenues. We finally went and had his blood drawn, and 3 agonizing weeks later, the doctor's office called us on a Friday and said, we would like for you guys to come in and talk to the doctor on Monday. No, we cannot give you test results over the phone. Why they called me on a Friday and told me they couldn't tell me what was going on, please wait 3 days before we can actually tell you, I don't know. That was extremely painful, and so we had to go the whole weekend without knowing what was going on. And then Monday finally came, the doctor sat us down and told 2 very distraught parents that their child had mosaic Down syndrome. And that kind of turns your world upside down. You go through a period of time where you go through all of the stages of grief. You go through the denial, you go through blame and, all this stuff. And when you've got 2 parents, they don't necessarily go through it at the same time. At the same time, for the same amount of time. And that makes things really hard.
Wow. Yeah, I know when my son was...
Through it and doing well.
When my son was 4 years old, the juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And,
oh, wow.
Luckily, it went into remission, but he had to do a lot of life changes.
Yeah, I mean, it really changes everything that you thought was going to be your world. The picture of what you have in your head, of what your future looks like with your new beautiful baby, it changes. Mind you, I didn't say this.
Lucas was 18 months old before we got diagnosed with mosaic Down syndrome. So we went from 7 months old finding out that something was going on, we just didn't know what, to 18 months old finally finding out that we have, you know, for all intents and purposes, a diagnosis of Down syndrome. You know, it's, you know, usually you find that out prenatally or right after birth, not 18 months old.
Right.
So, you know, it was crazy. Craziness. It was sad. It was heartbreaking. It was hard. It was, you know, it was painful. It was just confusing. What the heck? I've never heard of mosaic Down syndrome. I just thought it was Down syndrome, you know? And you look at my kid, and if you don't know what you're looking for, tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so that fed the denial part of it.
Right.
The fact that you look at my kid and you can't see it, especially when he was that little, you can't see it. Like, no way, it's wrong. Something's not right here, you know? So, anyway, fast forward years later, everybody's doing great. Lucas gets lots of therapy. He gets lots of help. He is an amazing, bright, hilarious, creative, imaginative little boy. And you would never, you know, if you had been in my head right after the diagnosis, I myself would never have thought that we would be where we are now.
Right.
His life and everything that's been in it has given me purpose. You know, this whole time you spend, you know, your younger years wondering, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to be? You know, what's my purpose? And then this kid comes along who has no idea, completely changes my world and gives me purpose. He gives me a mission. He gives me drive. He gives me strength and courage. And he has no idea. That's the best part. He has no idea.
Thank you. We had a lot of people email us, text us, and call us about the importance of sign language. Is this something that you were aware of? Did you make a look into that at all, or you don't have a problem with the language?
Well, we did sign language initially because, no, Lucas took a while to speak. He probably didn't really start speaking intelligibly to where you could understand, you know, the majority of what he said until he was probably, I'd say, 3 or 4.
Right.
So we did use sign language up front initially. But once we started getting the idea that he, now this is just personal experience. This is, and it's different for everybody. Lucas was using it as a crutch.
Okay.
Once we realized that he could actually speak, where he was saying clear words, but he was choosing not to, like one day he would say the word just fine, and then the next day if he was having a bad day, he would quit saying it, and he would try to sign everything. So we kind of, you know, for him, and that's just him, we chose to back off on the sign language.
One of the questions we had, again, though, from one of our listeners was, how young or how old was Lucas when you started the sign language? To me, it seems extraordinary difficult, but we get so many people calling up about it, and they said being young was okay, but I have a hard time understanding that. Maybe you could share that with everybody listening.
I think you can start as early as infancy. Like, you can start whenever. Now, whether or not when they start to be able to say it back, you know, it varies from kid to kid. Like, I think probably I'd say he was signing around 9 months old. But we didn't start till later either.
How about the family? When did the family start practicing sign language? Before Lucas, or did you get it all about the same time, try to pick it up?
We all got it about the same time. Like, and it was very, very, very little, because neither one of us had much experience with it. So, you know, we only really did the basics. So because we were just kind of working with what we had, we didn't really know what we were doing. We were young. Like I think I was 24. Yeah, I was 24, and I think my husband was 26.
Well, how did you find it? How did you find organizations that taught sign language? How did you hook up with these people?
We used a lot of our early intervention program in Oklahoma. We're from Oklahoma, and the early intervention program there is Sooner Start, and they were wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. They pointed us in a lot of directions, you know, that we needed, or they offered the help themselves, you know. So it was a lot of the speech therapist. She provided a lot of assistance with that stuff, with like the small words and the, you know, signing more or milk or, you know, wet or, you know, whatever, the essentials. We never really got past the essentials. So,
was that more difficult for you or your husband to pick up the sign language? There's so many crazy questions. I don't want to bug you all, but some of the people want to know, did you pick it up easier? Did your husband pick it up, or did you pick it up somewhat together?
So together. Once Ryan and I got past the initial shock of everything, we really kind of decided early on that it was gonna break our marriage if we didn't partner together.
Good.
It was gonna destroy our marriage if we didn't band together and do this stuff as partners. You know, so we both really kind of took on everything together.
Good.
The other person that was gonna call Ryan, was that a 513 number?
Correct.
Yeah,
that
that's
Brandy
Keller. Yeah.
Okay, let me go ahead and finish, and then we'll bring her in after you're done, and she can pick up or comment on what.
I want to know also very quickly, who support the grandparents and any brothers and sisters you had? Were they all trying to pick up the sign language, or what support did you have outside your immediate family?
The only other person that really tried to pick up, you know, was the his sister-in-law. My sister-in-law, she was his daycare provider, so she was doing a lot of it as well. She took care of him during the day while I was at work, so she really picked up a lot of it too.
What is the one thing that you did to keep yourself stable? Did you get into jogging? Did you get into aerobics, or what did you do when you felt the pressure was, you know, like, tremendous? I mean, it's still your child. Of course, you're going to move heaven and earth to take care of your child. But what did you do for yourself on a personal note?
I'll be honest. I'm one of those, like, if something feels like it's gonna maybe beat me, I jump head first. I joined IMDSA is what I did.
Okay.
I, you know, instead of it beating me, I was going to beat it. And that's,
see, Philip, you're absolutely wrong. You said she had more sex. See, that's not true at all. See, there you go. Start paying attention quick. Sorry about that. Every now and then I get lost. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, actually, Bill's a nice one. I sometimes get lost on Bill.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Sometimes we're sitting here. I got a couple of pages open, and then people are texting me, and people are sending me messages, and I'm trying to handle all that. So a lot of times I'm listening, but sometimes I'm not really listening.
And I sneak one in on them.
And he sneaks one in. I mean, I apologize for that. But, yeah, because every once in a while we get the friends from whatever group they decide.
Whatever country they're from, maybe.
Whatever group of law enforcement decides it's through with the show, they do. So a lot of times I have to combat them while we're talking, but they jacked us up on Tuesday.
We should point out to everybody that this is a nonprofit show. We don't have sponsors. We're just simply Americans talking to Americans. Well, actually, Americans talking to Europeans too.
Americans talking to everybody in the world.
But because we don't have a license, because we're not controllable, the government actually a lot of our shows. They're looking for some crazy, I don't know.
They're sending subliminal messages.
Oh,
for
we've accused everything with that.
Yeah.
We're simply Americans talking to Americans. Someday the government might trust us. There's about half a dozen of us across America.
Yeah, because right now we got people listening in Germany, the United Kingdom, Canada, Russia, Turkey, Australia, Ireland, South Africa, the Philippines, Latvia, Poland, France.
And some of these people here will not catch a show till the following day because of time constraints.
Yeah.
And a lot of them do not speak perfect English. They're uncomfortable calling in, so they text Philip with a million zillion questions, and I try to go through the best I can.
Yeah, from the Ukraine, Indonesia, Philippines.
All these countries, I listen to what you have to say.
I'd like to have you talk about, if you don't mind, Brandy.
You know, hang on one second, Ryan. New Zealand, Brazil, and Denmark.
Also,
we got people. We're all over the world right now. So
Philippines.
Yeah, we got our one guy in China, but he disappeared.
Every now, China. This show is definitely illegal in China because we talk about human rights. But every now and then we get one man from China that peeks in every couple of weeks or so. I always worry that we're going to lose him in some gulag or some jail or something. I don't know.
Oh no.
As most American shows are in China. And we're not state-controlled.
Right. So what were you going to ask, Ryan?
A lot of people, you know, when they hear about Mosaic Down, something they don't realize is that due to Mosaic Down, that the child or whoever is affected has a higher risk for other ailments and issues. Is that something you could go into real quick and let people know what other... You know, as far as leukemia being one of them, more prone to heart problems, things like that?
Absolutely. That's actually one of our biggest causes for concern because, like I said before when I was telling my story, Lucas wasn't diagnosed until he was 18 months old. And I will tell you, Lucas is on the low end, like an early diagnosis when it comes to people who are diagnosed with Mosaic Down syndrome. Typically, they're two or older. We have several examples of people in our community that didn't get their Mosaic Down syndrome diagnosis until after a leukemia diagnosis. And the reason that is upsetting is because when you have a child with any form of Down syndrome, by the way, there are four types, you are getting screened regularly for these things. And if not screened, at least your pediatrician or doctor is familiar enough with the condition to know that if something comes up, they know that they need to do extra testing. So, like, for example, children or people with Down syndrome are recommended to get, you know, yearly thyroid tests and, you know, full blood panels and stuff like that and checking for heart defects and, you know, just health risks in general. And when they don't have that diagnosis of Mosaic Down syndrome or Down syndrome at all, they're not getting those regular screenings, which is why we have the families that we have that didn't get their Mosaic Down syndrome diagnosis until after another worse diagnosis. Not that that diagnosis would have prevented or, you know, caused anybody to be able to prevent leukemia, it just would have probably caused them to catch it sooner. I know one of our families, I don't know, are you guys familiar with mystery diagnosis at all?
Not me,
no.
Okay, there was a show called Mystery Diagnosis. I believe it's still running, and it runs on, I think it's the Discovery Channel, either Discovery or Discovery Health. And they basically go through this, you know, dramatized story of, you know, somebody who has something that's wrong and nobody can figure out what's going on. You know, one of our family members was on show back in, I think it was 2009, maybe earlier than that, but I think it had to have been earlier than that. Anyway, so they were actually on the show, and it ended that she had and ended up having Mosaic Down syndrome as well. So that's exactly why it's important to have a diagnosis at all and have to spread the awareness and make sure people know that this is out there. You know, there are a lot of kids out there that probably have Mosaic Down syndrome, but they've been diagnosed as developmentally delayed, which is a diagnosis, or autism even, you know? So, and then people are satisfied with that because they don't know that there's something else that it could be.
Yeah,
especially like said Ryan earlier, you talked to the doctors in Virginia, mm-hmm. West Virginia. Last week, and they had no idea what you're talking about. That's bad. When it's a physician,
we did.
That's not good.
I was co-emceeing a Down syndrome run last year. We had almost 5,000 people show up. And already this year, we're probably gonna triple that.
Good.
We have a question here from one of our listeners. They want to know, God forbid, should something happen to you and your husband, a car accident or something, how do you have family ready to step in, or how do you protect your child down the road? Again, God forbid something happens to either one of you. Family,
we,
or what would you?
We have family. We are blessed, very, very blessed with an amazing support system. Between my husband's parents, my parents, our siblings, they're all very, very, very supportive, very accepting of our child. And I can't imagine any one of them not dropping everything to take care of our children. So in that regard, we are blessed. But there are, you know, there are people out there that aren't a will that has, you know, beneficiaries, people who are going to take custody of your children should something happen. And you gotta make sure that that's a person that you can trust and that will take care of your child, you know, because you know, it's not, you know, it's only as hard as you allow it to be, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know anything else because my first child has mosaic Down syndrome. So that's all I've ever known. So to me, it's just life. So, but you have to really look at it from an outsider's perspective and really dig down and see who you trust and who you know would provide the same level and type of care that you're providing.
Right.
So we're lucky. We're very lucky and very blessed that we don't have that problem. But there are people out there that do, and they really need to talk to a lawyer or, you know, somebody that can help point them in the right direction and get a will down on paper.
We have shoot me for every second. We have a caller on 513-988 that's got a question. 513.
That's the other commentator.
Oh, the other commentator. Well, come on in.
That's Brandy.
Hello. Say hello. Tell us who you are. Where you're calling from, please.
Well, my name is Brandy Hellard, and I am currently the president of IMDSA. And I'm calling from Ohio.
Well, good evening to you.
Good evening.
What would you like to share with us tonight?
I'm here just to basically ask, you know, answer any questions anybody has, you know, pertaining to Mosaic Down Syndrome and the organization.
Well, I've had about 20 questions already. Where were you a few minutes ago when I needed to?
I was hanging in the wings over there.
Oh, my goodness. Let me write a question over you. Well, the question talked about, now, advances in medicines, we never know what's in the future. What does the future hold for our young gentleman here? What do you think? What type of work can he do? What type of life can he have? Knowing that advances in medicine tomorrow could change everything. Skipping that. What do you think?
I think with that, you know, for me, I always say that, like autism, Down syndrome has a spectrum. It has a range of cognitive ability. So, you know, when we talk about what limits are, you know, there is no limits. I think as long as we continue to have our advanced research, you know, project continuing to go, which IMDSA is very much involved in, and we, as part of our mission, is to continue to have research going on in Mosaic Down syndrome. I think that with that, you've got the sky's the limit. So I think as long as we can figure out, you know, and have more protocols to things and how to help and benefit our kids with Down syndrome and Mosaic Down syndrome, there's a lot of things that they can do. And like I said, early intervention's taking place now, and our kids are being fully included in classrooms now in America. So that has a lot to say because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, these kids, without the early intervention that take place, they were sitting in the basements or they never came out of the house.
Right.
So
and of course,
we've come a long way.
Is going to have their own different levels, like every other child is going to have different levels and all that. So
absolutely.
What you're talking about, include them in the schools. I think regular schools, I think that is so important. Growing up in Boston, South Boston, every Sunday we would have at the dinner table from the grandparents to the grandchildren, cradle to grave. We lived with everybody in the neighborhood. It's only when I came out to California that we became fragmented. I've got some relatives in L.A., some up by Northern California. We're not together as a family anymore, and I truly miss when we all, as a family, came together. So I like that what you're talking about there a lot. Philip, you're from Chicago. Same thing.
Same thing.
Large family. Everybody
right.
get together. Not a lot of people in California saying, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm talking about family, cousins, uncles, relatives. Everybody has got a little something off, but they're still all of our family. One uncle's got a few drinks and maybe something, whatever. The fact is we cannot forget our family. And the fact that people are strong enough to say, I want my family member to be included in the regular world like every other child, I think that's fantastic. Absolutely.
I think it's extremely important for family members to include not only the schools, but the families to include
the community.
Yeah, the whole community, friends, family, everybody. And it's got, and like Randy said, it's come so far from what it used to be. You know, even before the kids were in the basement, they were being institutionalized.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't uncommon for a family to have a child with Down syndrome and send them off because they didn't have the, you know, you got to kind
yeah,
of
when I was
with
a kid,
grain of salt too because they didn't have the means, to provide for a child, you know, with Down syndrome. Also, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, when
they didn't know
when
what to do at all.
When I was a kid, a couple of my friends had, one guy had a brother and the other guy had a sister with Down syndrome.
Oh, okay.
And when we were little, we seen them. But when we turned into teenagers, they sent them away.
Yeah. I think now with advances in medicine today, we're appreciating that every human being out there is going to bring something special to this earth. Not always going to be Einstein, certainly Philip, but I don't ever be Einstein's, but every one of us has something to bring. My next door neighbor is David. He has Down syndrome. I spoke just the other night to his family. He has a job. He still lives with his family. He's in his early 30s, but he has come in the past 10 years in leaps and bounds, and they predict the next 10 years more and more and more. They expect so much more. So to get a young child to have all those advantages, I think it's so much more. As we're talking about in the past where we didn't know quite what to do with all these wonderful children.
Right. Well, and people tend to fear what they don't know.
Yeah.
So I think it speaks a lot about how far we've come socially,
uh-huh.
even more so than medically. Because now the social, you know, realm of the world is starting to embrace this community, which is causing, you know, an overflow of the medical community also starting to see that, hey, we need to help these people. You know, they're really, truly a part of this community, and they need to be treated as such. So I think it speaks a lot to how far we've come socially as well. So instead of being, you know, hidden off into an institution, these people are right next door, like you said, your neighbor and your friend and, you know, somebody's brother, and they're around and they're visible to you. And now we're starting to see how much they have to offer and how much they have to give. Because I'm telling you what, my kid is a giver. Man, he is the first one to come over to me if I, you know, am not smiling. Not frowning or crying, but not smiling. He is the first one there going, what is wrong? What can I do for you? And he's 8. You know.
When I moved into my home and the moving truck came in, the gentleman next door, David, he was there, walked up and said hello, shook my hand, helped me start moving my stuff in. Well, I said, who's this? I said, I don't know, but he's helping us move in. So he, from that point on, he became a neighbor and a friend, just like that. Right up to the shop, right up to the door, excuse me, right up to my trucking moving company. Didn't even face it. How you do? He said hello and started grabbing boxes and all that. You tell me something's wrong with that? I can't see how.
No.
What better neighbor could I want?
I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's the way more of the world should be.
Yeah. So, you got any questions?
What? I was talking briefly about the sign language. Now, is our second caller more acclimated to that sign language? Or because I want to talk about that a little bit if I could. So which one could talk more about the sign language?
Well, I think with our kids, when we talk about sign language, it's not like what you would see with, you know, somebody that, you know, is deaf. It's a little bit different when we talk about sign language. It's basically just learning, like, core things, like more, enough,
right.
You know, all done, those type things. But once they get to, like, a certain age, and I think Brandy had said this earlier, once it was, typically it's around the age around 4, they already learn the word, and then they kind of drop the sign. So, like,
right.
For my daughter, she's 6. She doesn't sign at all. But at
mm-hmm.
at one time when she was, you know, I don't know, 18 months and between 18 months and 3, I mean, we were doing a combination of signs. In the beginning, it was all signs, and then we got to where she would say the word and then maybe sign, and then she got to the point where she would just not sign anymore. So, you know, for us, it's a little bit different, and I think it's based on every kid is a little bit different when we talk about sign language. But,
this
yes, it was
I
a big, big helper, you know.
I spoke to counselors this past week about the importance of sign language around children. They're telling me all babies and adults should learn sign language because it helps the child understand things so much better. I was totally surprised at that. They say at the earliest age possible, all children should learn sign language. What do you think about that?
I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's about communicating. If you know, you are less stressed if you can get communication across. I mean, anybody will say that. If I can just communicate my thoughts or whatever, I mean, the world is, you know, it's easier. So that's the same thing. If you can learn it early on, I mean, I wanted my daughter to be able to tell me all done, you know, if she would, instead of, you know, just throwing stuff, if she wanted to go get a juice because she was already walking, I wanted her to be able to sign juice because I, you know, I don't know baby gibber. So if she was able to sign it,
uh-huh.
I was able to, you know, comprehend. And so I think it's good. And if any adult and, you know, can learn it, it's great. And that was the other thing. When I worked with a speech therapist at the time, she even said, you don't have to go by the textbook of sign language. You know, if juice ends up being a sign where she ends up touching her forehead and that ends up being the sign for juice for her, then that is your family sign for juice. It's just the way to communicate.
Perfect. I understand that, yeah. I know, just for example, about making your own word up for a word for a sign or something. I think that's so critical. I was in Mexico a while ago, and I had a friend from Texas with me, a Tejano, and I had a friend from Los Angeles, a Mexican-American. We're down in Tijuana talking, and my Mexican friend from Tijuana said to me, Bill, I can't understand what the hell these friends are saying. I said, you're all Spanish. He goes, no, Bill.
No.
The guy from L.A. is speaking some Spanglish.
Yep.
And the guy from Texas, he said Tejano. But the point is, they've all picked up certain words, and they understand the meaning, even though it's different for different people, different areas with them.
Yeah,
so a child doesn't have to,
And a lot of guys I work with speak, we call it Border Spanglish.
Border Spanglish, yeah. But the point is, you don't have to have everybody agreeing with one word, one sign. But once you have your child and you agreeing on a sign, meaning a word or a finish or whatever like that, I think that's outstanding.
Absolutely.
Philip and I have a sign language going. Every now and then no, I guess I shouldn't go there.
No,
I won't go there. But you know what the sign language I give him now and then is, but that's off the air.
No, Bill, that goes back to, you know, it's not unconstitutional to flip off police.
That's what I'm saying. It's not constitutional.
The federal court put me up on that one.
That's right.
You know, in fact, I can read you the 14-page opinion at the U.S.
Court
of Appeals
for the
Second Circuit Court.
I don't want to hear that crap.
The ancient gesture of an insult is not the basis for reasonable suspicion of a traffic violation
and
pending criminal activity.
And nobody else wants to hear that crap. You know what we want to hear?
Go ahead.
We want to hear what happened to you on the freeway.
Oh, well.
Hang on, boys and girls. Sometimes it's true. True is weirder than friction. Fiction, rather.
Well,
sorry. I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
Well,
you're coming home from work.
Well, yeah. There's two incidents, actually. And the first one I did twice already. But what happened was, I don't know if you guys, and I'm not trying to deviate from the topic, but we're going to get a little levity in here. But last year I had a woman talking on the cell phone, and if they got it in their right hand, they go to the right. If they got it in their left hand, they come to the left. And I was behind her.
We're talking about the car drifting towards the line. That's
right.
Yeah.
So I'm splitting the lane. We can do in California.
Lane sharing.
And the closer I got, the more I noticed she wasn't paying attention because I'm looking at her in the mirror, in the side view mirror. So as I roll up to the side, you know what I did, Bill?
I know what you did. Would you like to share?
This phone
is about communication.
Yeah. The phone was in the left hand. In my right hand, I grabbed the phone.
That's correct. You let a signal out to them, a message.
Right. And I threw I threw the phone in the southbound traffic.
And see, that person now realized you two have a special communication.
Correct.
She's on the phone. You're going to take the phone out of her hand and throw it in the freeway and destroy it.
Right.
See, you two have a special communication.
So now I'm 2-0.
Yeah. But I didn't want to hear about that one anyway.
Yesterday.
That's the one I want to hear about. Why do you got to talk for an hour to get one sentence in there?
That's true.
I just want to hear about what...
What happened yesterday was...
I'll take a short nap. Go ahead.
Yeah. What happened yesterday was that I got behind a Mercedes, and I guess he didn't like the fact that my high beam was on, so he rolled down the window and threw a Starbucks coffee out the window.
Ooh.
Wow.
Hit me dead center in my helmet and on the front of my jacket and my legs. What he didn't realize, two cars behind me was...
And neither did you realize.
No, I knew he was there.
Okay.
I knew he was there. That's why I stayed where I stayed. I moved over from the line. I was white lining. I moved over to the left side of the lane. That's when he threw the cup out the window, because I guess he didn't like my high beam.
Right.
But I always ride my high beam so people can see us. So he throws it out, and all of a sudden you hear... And the black Harley Davidson and the brown Mercedes, please pull over to the shoulder.
So we have communication going on here.
Exactly.
Special languages we're talking about.
Exactly. So I get out, and then I'm going over. He gets behind me, and then he notices the Mercedes ain't coming.
Right.
He pulls over in the middle by the median,
right,
instead of the shoulder. So as he does the, I get behind him as he's doing the loop-to-loop. Just to say... I sat there, told me to take off my helmet, turn off my bike, so I knew I was going to be there for a little bit, as I listened to a lecture, not to me, to the other guy. So when he decided to throw that $2.85 cup of coffee out the window, that cost him $1,000.
Littering on the freeway.
For throwing that coffee out the window, as well as the $790 for coming over in front of me, crossing the double yellow line.
See, that man now will have the same communication we're talking about here.
Correct.
He realizes now that every time he sees a Starbucks cup of coffee...
or a black Harley Davidson.
Or a black Harley Davidson, it cost him $1,000.
No, no. Almost $2,000, Bill.
Oh, the other side. Yeah, they got a couple tickets. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
And then he proceeded to come back and tell me that the reason he got in behind me,
mm-hmm,
two cars behind me, because he thought I was riding a little close to the line.
Which we do.
I'm allowed to ride the line.
That's right.
So I asked him that question, and it seems that, you know, and I know that the California Highway Patrol and people have been complaining about lane sharing and everything else, and Nevada was the first one to follow suit, but their bill got killed on the House floor. So our bill stayed the same.
Yeah.
There's some enhancement to it. It hasn't been passed yet. But we're still grandfathered under what's going on now.
So we still do what we do.
So this gentleman proceeded.
Even though it cost the...
This gentleman, yes.
See, I wouldn't get mad if it was a regular cup of coffee, but that was a Starbucks cup of coffee. I'm sure with you.
I know.
That's the part I think should be wrong there, you know?
And then what this gentleman proceeded to tell me was about splitting land.
Right.
He also proceeded to tell me that from the border, Mexico and California,
see,
all the way past Sacramento to the border up there.
Yeah.
That they're going to be doing motorcycle safety checkpoints.
Mm.
They're not going to be pulling them unless they see you do something wrong.
Let me get back to our speakers now, because I just wanted you to tell a short story. I didn't know you were going to give a damn novel over here, you know. They threw coffee at me. Okay, I was like, oh, my God, almighty.
I give out the facts.
You give the facts. That's why I take short naps when we're on the air an awful lot. What now, listeners tonight, how can, do we have a website that other people can check on them and all that, Philip?
Absolutely.
Please share us with us, because people, we've got messages and they may not want
to
speak.
Hey, Ryan, if you're sitting there and you got access to the chat room, would you type that in there, which you already did? Perfect.
Yep. I got you.
Ryan's on top of all that. He's a pretty sharp putt. Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
So there's two links up there. One of them is one that goes straight to the IMDSA, which is the International Mosaic Down Syndrome Association.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is to firstgiving.com. And the FirstGiving site is also connected with the bike run that KR Productions is putting on to benefit the IMDSA on June 23rd. So you can go onto there. No money goes directly to me. I don't touch a penny. Everything goes through my links directly to IMDSA, so everybody knows their money's going where they want it to. If they go through this link, it'll help us to know where the money's coming from, as well as we'll know that it's going for the IMDSA. So, and also their Facebook page is now up on the chat room.
I had a question to Ryan about the can you give us a little bit about the program you're going to have, the little party? Give us a little bit of highlights of what's going to be going on.
Sure. What I'm trying to do is bring every demographic in. It is going to be a bike run, and, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do the bike run is because I've had such great luck in the past with as giving as everyone is. However, I didn't want to limit it to just bikes. So I've invited hot rods, classic cars. Anybody that's willing to come is welcome to come out, and basically we're going to have an all-day party while the bike run is happening. I'm going to have some bouncy houses so that families can come out, their kids can go jump up and down in a big rubber house, and while the dad's looking at hot rods and the mom's getting information about the IMDSA, I mean, he's got just about everything handled so that it's a family event. I'm also bringing in some entertainers. I've got a group that's called the Bloodlust Productions, and what they are is people that dress up like zombies and just go hang out and take pictures with people. So if you ever wanted to have your picture taken with a zombie, you'll have that opportunity at this event. Having some breakdancers come out, which is an old 80s thing that is kind of making a comeback. That's, you know, it's fun to watch, and they're going to come out and donate their time to try to get more people to show up. Have an entertainer flying in out of Arkansas that does hula hoop dancing. So she's going to donate a day, come out and just spend all day hula hooping, potentially film one of her videos at this location and also help to direct traffic to the IMDSA.
I just got a question on what she's usually wearing while she's hula hooping.
Honestly, the less they wear is better. From what she tells me, that the hula hoop sticks to her skin better. And with the tricks that she does, she usually wears a tank top and little, like, Arkansas booty shorts, like Daisy Dukes. Because anywhere that has the skin, she's more able to do these different tricks. She can hula hoop just on a single shoulder. Just with the dances that she does, it will move from her ankles all the way up to the top of her body, back and forth. Just amazingly graceful and almost hypnotic style of dance. The whole time while she's hula hooping, it's ridiculous. That's going to be a great time. And she's an elementary school art teacher, so she also does paintings, things like that. Great with kids. But yeah, we've got tons of fun stuff happening.
Ryan, are you going to put some type of video together or some type of a collage so that the people that can't show up that may want to see what the event was like, how can they check on that?
Absolutely. I'm going to be out there on site along with two other photographers that I've brought in that are going to be doing still photography throughout the entire event. Some of us leapfrogging, so not only can we get the bikes on the road going from stop to stop, but also on location throughout the day. And then I do have a couple people that are film students that are going to be on site doing videography, and all of that will be directed first to the IMDSA to make sure that everyone is represented in the correct manner. And then at that point, people will be able to check out what's going on and how all of this comes into play.
Ryan, I'm sorry. I really try to. I don't know what videography is. Can you tell me what that is, sir?
Yeah, they're making a video.
Is your name Ryan? Did I ask you, Philip?
Yeah. Why is it? Basically, that's a guy that instead of running a camera that just takes a single snapshot, he'll be running a video camera where he can walk around and document certain aspects of the event. So, you know, it's something that is. Basically, we're trying to get people to come in and be aware of what's going on. And so it will be done in a fun fashion where once it's put together, it'll be a fun little video that shows everybody having a good time, talks about the cause. We'll probably do some sort of, either trending across it so people know what's going on or, you know, put some kind of documentary with it so that people can look at it and know what they're watching and know where they can direct any sort of funding. You know, anything that they want to do to help out the organization, they'll have those links included as well.
So you're going to have families there so families can walk up to other families and talk to them about what's going on. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's correct. I'm hoping to have a couple different families that do have family members with Mosaic Down so that they can answer questions, and I'm also going to be getting a bunch of information so we can be passing out brochures, things like that. Try to raise as much awareness as possible throughout the course of the day.
I know that people can look up and get a lot of answers to the questions, but I think the idea of one family getting to sit down and talk to another family, I think that'd be just fantastic. Just what tips, what techniques, what's worked, what do you see for the future, what new medicines, whatever. I think that'd be each family could reinforce the other family.
Absolutely. There's a lot to be taken from firsthand knowledge that you can't read on the Internet.
Right.
And for this being such a new thing, you know, even the doctors don't know about it. Like I was talking about last week from when I was at West Virginia Medical School, the professors I spoke with, none of them knew what I was talking about. So if we can get even these parents to even know the name so that if something's happened, they can ask or know to ask, could this be related to Mosaic Down? That would, and then, you know, the doctor would look it up, hopefully. And that's one more educated person. So if we can just get the word out about this, that's our main goal here.
Now, do we have international programs with this, too? Is this just locally still going on just in America? Or have we got the international contacts here?
We are the international contact.
Yeah, from what I understand, you're talking to the only international group.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't found anything else in the research that I've done, and it seems like with everything that they're trying to put forward, they're the number one group to go to.
Interesting.
So, and if I'm not mistaken, Brandy, every family that's involved with IMDSA as far as the running aspect of it, the volunteers that make the organization go, are all of your families affected by someone with Mosaic Down?
Almost all of them. We have one member on our board that does not have a family member with Mosaic Down syndrome.
Okay. So that's always nice, too, knowing that the people you're talking to and working with can relate to what you're going through. And, you know, like a lot of these organizations that you call up, they've just hired somebody off the street that they tried to teach a bunch of stuff. And they really don't know where you're coming from. But in this situation, you've actually got someone that can relate and is going to be able to offer you that firsthand knowledge that's so important in times like these.
Right. And, Ryan, we also have one of, like, very, very few, if not the only researchers in our back pocket. She's
nice.
Out of Virginia Commonwealth, and she is the only one that is specific research
related to mosaic dentistry.
Okay.
So, as far as we're aware, there's only a couple that have kind of dabbled in it, but she is the only one that focuses mainly just on mosaic Down syndrome.
Okay. Now, are there any signs or anything that people should watch for, or is this just something that you feel that people should, as painful as it is to have the blood work done, have their child tested at an early age?
Well, the only way to confirm it is to do a test, whether it's you can do blood testing, a genetic, you know, a full genetic blood test, or you can do what's called a buccal swab, which is basically just taking like a Q-tip or a toothbrush on the inside of the person's cheek, and then you send that to be tested. The only issue that I have found with doing the buccal swab is there aren't many labs in the United States that actually perform that test. So it's most commonly diagnosed by a blood test.
Okay.
You know, guys, we have got some listeners that have not made, they've been just very patiently listening without asking any questions. So let me put a question. Eunice, are you out there? Do you have any questions for our guest tonight? Hello? Eunice?
Eunice is in Boston. We lost Stacy and Nora was having trouble with her grandson. So.
Now, somebody don't forget the East Coast against one of those hurricanes and stuff. I know the southwest part is all pretty, or southeast part's all messed up. But I guess we're getting messages, but we're not getting through the phone.
Right.
All right, all right, okay. So then actually, I was a bit surprised because usually we never go on this long without everybody calling in. They're texting messages to us, questions to us, but usually people want to come on. But we are apparently having some problems right now. I know my brother's in Atlanta, Georgia right now. And,
that's where I am.
It's miserable. It's miserable. So we got people all over the air, but we're just getting in. All right, Riley, put it back to you.
I'm north of Atlanta.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Ryan, I'll put the show back to you again. It's your responsibility. Keep talking, Ryan. You got it. I love putting him on the spot.
No worries. I've got the gift of gab. I can go for hours. But, you know, as far as this event goes that we're trying to put on and really get everybody aware of mosaic Down syndrome, we're also trying to make it fun. So, you know, it's going to be a bike run. We're going to have great food, barbecue things happening, brisket, pulled pork, pulled chicken. But also we're having a beautiful ride through Colorado that's going to show us the plains, up through the mountains to a great lake, coming back down through the city and then back to the initial starting point. And while all that's going on, a lot of the different models that I've worked with when I told them about what we're doing for the fundraiser and everything else have all volunteered to come out, and they're going to be doing a bikini car and bike wash throughout the entire day. And everything is going to be based off of donations. So you show up, you want to have your car bike washed, give them a donation, you'll get it handled. I'm going to have several of the other models walking around that are just willing to take shots with anybody that either wants a photo shoot with their bike done, you know, any of that type of stuff. And everything that we earn through the course of the day, 100% of the net proceeds goes directly to International Mosaic Down Syndrome. So if somebody's at the event and they've got a great bike or even a junky bike, it makes no difference. If they call a model over, they'll flag one of the photographers that I'm going to have on site, and we'll do a photo shoot right there. And then any of the photos that they want to purchase, that money goes directly to the cause. So the models are doing it for nothing. The photographers are all volunteering their time. And we're trying to do everything we can to just get people pumped up, have a great time, and, you know, throw some money towards this organization, as well as tell their neighbor about it. You know, and a lot of times that's more important. If we can get people asking questions and get the grapevine going as far as the gossips go, that's what's going to make the biggest difference, is people being aware of what's happening.
Brian, Philip and I have only recently, well, we've known you for a while, but only recently I begin to realize how much you work and you work and you work. So I guess the question I have for you is, when do you sleep? Every time we're talking to you, you're out.
You know, my dad made the mistake years ago of telling me that you do 90% of your aging when you sleep. And I figured, you know what, I'm not going to grow old, so I'm just going to stay awake. you know, my slow time is in the winter. So once summer rolls around, I am pretty much 24/7 because that's when things happen and that's when everybody's up for doing the bike runs and all of these types of things. So it's, you got to get it while it's getting there.
Are we in the background ask a question? Do you figure
yeah,
them?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there somebody out there trying to ask a question? I think that's the East Coast trying to get through again. Boy, this is really getting me irritating. So many people are trying to get in with questions, and we can't get them all on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another event coming up that's not one of mine, but it's a conference that's going to be happening in Texas for the IMDSA. So if there's anybody in the Texas area that's listening, that's something that Brandy can tell you a little bit more about as well.
Brandy, can you get some information on that and the times and dates and how they can check that out, please?
Absolutely. Obviously, you can check it out on the website, www.imdsa.org. But it's basically we do a biennial conference every other year. This year, and it moves. So like last time we did it in Orlando. This year, it's in San Antonio, Texas. The dates are July, technical dates are July 12th through the 14th, but we, the day before, are having a
family day.
like a family day. Thank you. It's getting late here on the East Coast. We're doing family day at Morgan's Wonderland, which is the United States, possibly the world, I think it's the world's only fully accessible theme park. For special needs, yeah. It's completely accessible to people in wheelchairs and everything. So it's pretty amazing. And it's located in San Antonio. And it's just an opportunity. You know, Friday we do research. So if anybody has, you know, is interested in any of the research that our researchers are performing, they're welcome to come and participate in that. And then our breakout sessions and events start on Saturday. Saturday, run all day Saturday and then half the day on Sunday. So we're running into our deadline on our room book, though. That's coming up next Tuesday. And so if people want to get the reduced rate at the West End Riverwalk, they need to be registered in their room by then. And the link can be found on the website under our conference tab.
I'd like to point out for those people going, the Riverwalk is absolutely spectacular. I've been
beautiful.
In that area. That's just gorgeous.
Yep, absolutely. You know, my family is, you know, of course I'm involved with the organization, but we're going and it's going to be like a vacation for us. You know, yeah, I'm going to be really busy Saturday and Sunday and Friday, but, you know, we're going out a couple days early and we're going to just kind of, because even living 10 hours from San Antonio when I was growing up, I never went. My husband had gone, but I've never been to San Antonio, so we're kind of using it as a vacation. We're going to stop in New Orleans on the way and, you know, just kind of make it a fun trip. So,
when you get to New Orleans, are you going to go to the cemeteries?
No.
Oh, we are. We're going to do a walking tour. Part
are
of
you?
The,
to the
yeah.
There you go.
I see. We'll have Micah. My youngest is only 3. So
that's just an excuse.
We won't be able to do anything
like
that.
That's just an excuse.
That cemetery is something you should try to see if you can.
There's a lot of history behind it, Brandy.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, whether or not you believe that stuff or not, still, it's simply their lifestyle down there.
Yeah, well, I can't wait, because that's also somewhere I've never been. So I'm excited about that. My husband's been, but I've never been, so...
Does anybody know how to say the French phrase for let the good times roll?
No, which one
no.
is that?
Nobody?
No?
You can't go to New Orleans without knowing that. Let the good times roll. They say that over and over and over in New Orleans, in Francais.
So what is it?
Well, I hope somebody could cover me on this one. Laissez les bon temps roller, I believe it is. And I probably mispronounced, but I think that's the correct words. Whatever that is, you've got to memorize that because it means let the good times roll. And they say that all the time in French, so, you know.
Right,
you don't want to say
course.
It back in English, make it look like a tourist.
Right.
Right.
Well, like I don't look like a Taurus when I'm down there, but
I don't mind. I don't mind looking like a Taurus, to be honest. I think it's great. I love having my camera out and being completely obvious. Anyway, so I bring that up just to say, you know, if you're in or around the Texas, you know, San Antonio area, or if you're not and you're just interested, please come on by. It's a reasonably priced conference, and we have tons and tons of awesome information that's going to be presented. So,
and we actually conduct research on site, too.
Yeah, the research on Friday. Yep.
Are we going to have any seminars on one of those 2 days that people can listen in on?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be workshops all throughout on Saturday and on half a day Sunday. The workshops range from potty training to
I think he was asking if they were being broadcast.
Oh, no. We're not that high-tech yet.
Okay, you might check some of the local radio stations. The radio and television stations are required to do a certain number of PSAs, which is public service announcements.
Correct. We use that a lot out here, yes.
Yep, so if you contact them, tell them that you're a nonprofit organization and what you're doing, you may not be able to get all of them, but you will have several of them probably show up that will either film it and put it onto your local PBS station or the local news channel, like it's usually Channel 3, they'll do a live feed. It doesn't hurt to ask, and a lot of times if you call them up, you can get the newspapers and stuff a day early, and then everybody else will be calling you asking how they can come out and do the same.
And I know the local universities in that area, they do a lot of that stuff there. I know in San Diego, we broadcast so much information for people to find out. I certainly think that you get a lot of interest in that. And PSA is something that they have to give back to the community. Public service announcement, they have to give that back up. So they want to do it in a positive manner. And you guys certainly sound like the right way to go, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good idea. Very good idea.
It wasn't my idea. It was Ryan's idea. I just want to. I was piggyback on it, but that was all Ryan's idea.
Well, if you need help with that, let me know, and I'll call some of my Texas connections to see what we can do.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
So,
do you have a link for that? And if so, can you send it to me, and I'll put it in the blog?
Yeah, well, I can put it up. Just 1 second.
And we also have a flyer, too, if you want to just give them that, too.
Okay.
Can you send me a flyer? I'll post it. Well, anything you guys are going to do, if you send me the flyers, I'll post them on the blog.
Is it easier to have the flyer in, like, a PDF file, or is it easier for, like, a JPEG?
No, PDF or either one is fine.
Because, Brandy, if you send them the PDF file, give them one with the interactive one so they can do the clickable links.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
I'll have to send that to you, Ryan, via email.
Just to let you know that the blog, that is the daily blog that we do, it's 2,224,836 people. That's the first of the year.
It's amazing how many people want to share information. And we certainly live in a technological age, without a doubt. But this is one of the few shows, again, where if you people don't call and talk to us, this show's nothing. Now, usually we talk more about motorcycle rights and all that, but this anything that is of interest to our listeners, for interest to us, too. So we thank you very, very much for calling in, because truly, without that, the show is nothing. There's nothing more.
Well, we appreciate you letting us come on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Information out. We've got to get this information out to people. It's the only way we do it, by people talking to people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right,
so
folks, I think I'm going to head out, actually. What did you say?
Are there any other real quick highlights or high points, things that you need to think people should be aware of regarding Mosaic before you get off the air? Or do you think you pretty well covered it to what they need to be knowing?
We've covered a lot of it. I think the biggest takeaway from this is awareness, and people need to ask questions. And don't just take what one person tells you as the end-all, be-all.
Yeah, don't be afraid to go and get a second opinion if needed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a hotline for the parents that they can call up?
Yes.
To talk
yes.
to parents or talk to other professionals? Is there some type of hotline these
yes,
people can reach out with?
It is 1-888-NDS-LINK.
There we go.
And just for the record, we are an all-volunteer nonprofit, so I am the one that will pick up the phone and answer it. So if you get the voicemail, just leave a voicemail, and I will call you. We also have international calling as well, so it might take me a day or two to get back with you, depending on the time zones and stuff, but I do get back with everybody within, you know, a timely manner.
I want to tell you how this has affected us personally, by the way, and since we've been doing this show, Philip has brought up his grandchild 5 or 6 times. Every time you guys start talking about it, he's going back looking at his grandchild. How old is your grandchild now?
10 months.
10 months. So as you're talking about stuff that's kind of affecting him or touching him, he's flipping back here to the computer and popping up his grandchild, looking at his grandchild as we're talking and all that. So I hope, beside my good friend Philip, I hope it's touched other people's lives out here also.
Well, good. We hope so, too.
Been our pleasure.
Well, thank you again.
And then, just as this gets closer to the event, and or if you guys, something comes up where you wanna put it out, send me an email, or get a hold of Ryan, and he'll give you my cell phone number, and we'll go from there.
Awesome.
Okay.
And remember, anything needs to go to Philip. And unfortunately, nothing can go to Bill because I'm computer illiterate. It's a sad. Once you accept that in life, it's okay, guys.
Well, that's only because you think the computer's...
I know it's the devil. And every time you people use that computer, you are sucking up a little of your soul. Before we had the... Before, it was different. Every day you guys, this computer, you give a little bit up to the devil. But this is my... Just my opinion.
All right, guys. Well, it's been fun, and I am going to have to, it is almost 11 o'clock here on the East Coast, so I'm going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in.
Wait, I got one last question. I haven't had no dinner tonight. What did you make for dinner?
What did I make for dinner? I didn't make dinner. My husband made little Smokies and, Cheetos.
Okay.
Nice.
I really hope my wife is not listening
to
this.
You know that guy that went to the doctor because his hands were, you know, his private area was orange? You know,
no.
Yeah, and the doctor said, well, what were you doing last night? He said, I was eating Cheetos.
On that strange note, I want to say goodnight to everybody. We have ladies on the air.
Oh, do that?
No.
They're not laughing. They're not laughing.
In the presence of ladies, we should try to act like gentlemen. It's different. Ryan's on the air, but these are ladies now. Come on.
Well, you know, Bill.
What?
10 years from now.
10 years from now.
You'll be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones that you do.
Hey, there's nothing I haven't done.
Explore, dream, and discover.
Nothing. By the way, Philip and I are getting ready for our next trip down to Mexico.
Which, by the way, you didn't tell anybody what happened. Like, last weekend, we went to... The naughty school go run.
Well, I guess we talked about that. Ladies, are you still on the air? Have you got off the air? Ladies?
I don't know now, but...
Let's bring the show to a slight R-rated, so not X-rated, a little R-rated, though. Last weekend, we did the school girl run. Naughty school girl run. They came from San Diego. They came from Riverside in L.A. We met at a hidden destination. Once we got there, though, I think about 100 girls were there. It just went off the chart. Sometimes we have these mystery runs and nobody knows where they end up, and it truly is. But leading that into it, you and I will be going down to Mexico.
That's the 13th of next month. So.
And I assure you, Mexico is definitely R-rated. Things you do in Mexico, you just can't do in America.
It's like going to Vegas, Bill.
Except it's a lot more fun than Vegas.
Man, well.
Talk to you right after. I got to see about getting another room, so I got to talk to you about that afterwards.
Okay.
But
if you guys, like we said, you're more than welcome. Come back anytime. And I appreciate you staying up so late to answer questions and comments and everything. And
will you put in the picture of the schoolgirl run up soon?
Yeah, I just haven't had time this week.
So some of the people may want to see that, what's going on. Then we'll put the information for the Mexico run. We'll put that on so they can see that, too.
It's already there.
Okay, good. So
it's already there. And last year we had about 5,000 people.
Yeah.
This year we're going to triple it.
It's going to be a large event. Yeah, what we do in Mexico is something unique. It's a different country, different rules and regulations. In fact, there are no rules and regulations.
Well,
that's,
you know,
what it is.
It
yeah.
depends. You know that guy that grabbed that woman for pulling the bees out of the tree and broke the branch and arrested her for breaking the branch out of the tree?
Well, didn't arrest her. Just put her in handcuffs and all that. But we got her out without paying any fine. She didn't do any time in jail. So.
Yeah, you know, that. I mean, when you went down, she, before this went down, this girl walked up to Bill and was standing, Bill was standing
I'm
on
always,
the street.
I'm always innocent, boys and girls.
And this girl was standing on the curb. So she
it was
told,
Mardi Gras. The
right.
floats were going by. People throwing
right.
the beads out, you know,
right.
after
so
Mardi
told,
Gras.
She told Bill to close his eyes. She had something for him.
I'm a trusting person.
So she painted his, she sprayed purple all over his face.
That's strange.
After this woman got grabbed for pulling the beads out of the tree and breaking the branch, she was handcuffed and put in the car. The owner of the hotel comes out. He jumps in a car with Bill. They go down to the police station. And I guess the chief of police felt sorry for Bill because he didn't understand a word he said, but he looked like a clown because his face was all purple.
A lot of words before I realized, why is he smiling at me? I went, oh, geez, I got a whole purple beard. I'm purple everything in here. So we did get that person out of the police car. No fine, no tickets. It was all good to go again. Mexico's about communication. If there's a problem, there's a monetary price we can agree upon everything. And while some people in America find this, that's disgusting, I don't find disgusting at all. It's a different way of life, and if something gets broken or you run a stop sign or something, I'd rather negotiate that with the local policeman on the spot. That's the way it is with that. So we'll have a lot of pictures from the hotel we're staying at. Is just beautiful, right?
Right.
A 5-star hotel. We're on the ocean. Rosarito Beach is gorgeous. Although I kind of favor the next town down, Ensenada, a bit more, but Rosarito still is beautiful.
Right. And we're down to the last few minutes. So I got.
Now
I got
it's
a little,
time to say goodbye.
I got a little. We're gonna play a little Creed. What's this
to
place
each
for?
And all my friends.
And want to say goodnight.
M-I-C.
Want to say goodnight to the ladies?
No, hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Ladies, I'm going to sing to you. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. This is Bill Kennedy signing off. And what great music do we have for the rest of our people?
Creed, what's this life for?
And I'm probably going to sing time to time, so don't bother calling and complain. I don't really care. I know I can't sing. As long as I'm happy, what the hell? Put up with me, boys and girls. So where's Creed? I sing another song.
Should be right there. I don't know what happened.
M-I-C, see you soon. K-E-Y.
No.
Why? Because we love you. M-O-U-S-C.
Good night,
everybody. We don't have a song up there. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.